We are human. Jesus wept. But that we're not to grieve as those without hope. And there alongside the real sadness of today, I hope that there will be a great confidence in the work of Jesus, which is finished, and the promises of God, which are certain and true. Besides which, anyway, I've received instructions. And I know many of you have received instructions as well, but today's today about thanksgiving and joy and life. And I'm not wearing black, as I've been told. If you are, that's fine. But I was told to wear brightly coloured colours, and I haven't quite done that. So I haven't managed to colour my nails either, as I know some have. I don't think that Christine much liked funerals, and it's rubbed off on the family, certainly. And so this is an occasion of joy and thanksgiving and happiness and laughter. And of course, the reason for that is that today Christine is not sombre, and she wouldn't want us to be sombre. And that's because of her faith. She died with hope in her heart. A hope that I'm sure that we'll hear much about this afternoon. There are going to be three aspects of our time together. We're going to give thanks for Christine and for all the many good things that God gave to us through her. We're going to hear from God's word about the promises of God for us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we shall pray for the family and for one another. And there'll be a chance later on in the service when we have some tributes. Some people have prepared a few words to say about Christine. When after they're done, if anyone here would like to come up and say something themselves from their own heart, from their own experience, then the microphone will be here and ready, waiting for you. So if that's you, there's an opportunity a little bit later on to say something if you'd like to. Let's begin with just a moment of quiet. All of us will have our own memories and things we'd like to give thanks for. So just a moment of personal recollection. Then some verses from John's Gospel. Then one of Christine's favourite hymns, Amazing Grace. Some verses from John. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them everlasting life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. And that's where she is now. We're going to sing a wonderful song, Amazing Grace. And if you can't see the screen, hopefully you've got the words in front of you. And let's all join in together. Keep playing until the words come up on the screen. They will come up eventually.
Was mine but now.
Please take a seat. God tells us, and Christine was aware of this, just as many of us are, that those of us who claim to be sin-free are deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to, for those who would like to, we're going to join together in some words, which is an opportunity for us to say, God, we are not what we ought to be, and we know this. And we ask that you might come and change us and clean us and forgive us through Jesus. So let's pray these words together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the desires of our own hearts. We have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done. We have done what we ought not to have done. Lord, have mercy on us. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are truly repentant, as you have promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live godly, righteous, and disciplined lives to the praise of your holy name. Amen. God says that he made him, that is Christ, who knew no sin, to be a sin offering for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Heavenly Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you've given us a true faith and a sure hope. Strengthen this faith and hope in us all of our days, that we may live as those who believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection to everlasting life, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a song which reflects this. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Let's stand and sing. Please do sit. Now's the time for us to say a few things about Christine, and Roger's going to lead the way, followed by Andrew and James. And then after that, if anyone else would like to come and take the mic, then please do.
I feel a bit inadequate to start these tributes. I only knew Christine for 9 years. But in that time, in all sorts of different settings, home group, at church and so on, I came to know and really appreciate her her gifts and all that she was. So I want to start by a brief biography. As we saw on the slides, Christine was born in 1957 and she had her 53rd birthday party in May, and more on that later. She grew up in Woodingdean with her sisters Angela and Hazel, and I was trying to figure out in the photos which was which, but I didn't quite get it. You can tell us afterwards. And after school, she went to work at Barclays Bank. Now, it's very common nowadays to regard all bankers as complete rogues and scoundrels. They brought the country to its knees. Christine had a different opinion, at least about one particular banker, who apparently thought she had a very messy desk. I don't know what she thought about his jumpers, looking at those slides. So I always thought she was quite tidy, but Edward is very tidy. He sets high standards. Christine and Edward married in 1983, and Anna and Sarah duly appeared. Christine then went to work at West Dean School as a teaching assistant. Now, having your own parents at your school is always hazardous for children, as I'm sure they can remember. In fact, Anna has said she remembers how Christine knew everything that had happened to her that day. Probably before Anna knew it, I suspect, in some cases. And I suspect the girls were quite pleased when they went on to secondary school. But Christine stayed working at West Dean as long as she possibly could. I want to focus now on three aspects of Christine's character that particularly struck me, which I think are a huge example to all of us. Firstly, her faith. Christine had a very deep Christian faith that was totally Bible-based. She believed the Bible as she read it. She knew her scriptures intimately, and she'd been steeped in them all her life. Her approach to the Bible and her interpretation of it didn't always match mine, but I couldn't fault her knowledge of scripture and the seriousness with which she thought about it. In our home group a few years ago, we tackled the book of Revelation, and each week Christine and I would put our different perspectives. Hers was more literal, mine was more metaphorical. I don't know who won these debates. You'll have to ask the rest of the group. But I like to think that we all did, as we all came to a better understanding of that book, even if we did eventually agree to disagree over some of the details. But where we did totally agree was in the picture of the great multitude in glory in heaven, worshipping the Lamb upon the throne, our Saviour Jesus. And now, Christine is one of that multitude. She knows now which one of us was right about pre-millennialism or post-millennialism. She is there in glory. Christine's faith was strong enough to survive the greatest of all challenges, her apparently unanswered prayers for healing. The anguished, "Why me, God?" As a church, we've just been looking at this issue in a book that gives many answers, and yet really gives none, because the mystery of suffering is too deep for any of us to really understand or fathom. But Christine just got on with her life, in the midst of her illness, working and serving as long as she possibly could. One expression of Christine's faith was her commitment and devotion to her God and to his people, the church, and to the wider community. She had a real heart for those who hadn't heard the message of Christ's love and salvation, and she wanted to tell them. She was instrumental in starting and running the lunchtime Bible clubs over in West Dean School, the Squibs toddler group here, and various other initiatives. And she was zealous about the need for prayer as the church tries to impact on society around. She introduced and organised prayer times of varying lengths. We had evenings, half nights, nights, and whole days. Now, you don't get many volunteers for the 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. stretch on an all-night prayer session, but Christine was always very willing, even content, to be on duty in the small hours, praying for the world around us. She was quite happy as well to use novel methods, the prayer labyrinth, which she helped introduce, as long as they encouraged prayer. And I think one of our most memorable prayer meetings was on Ascension Day 2 years ago, I think it was. We had a service up by the windmill, and I think it was actually her birthday. it was the 1st of May. And after the service, we all came back here and we had about 50 people praying round. And I don't think many of us then would have thought that she would still be alive 2 birthdays later. Her commitment also came down to the nitty-gritty of making church happen. Each week she loaded up the PowerPoint for the song lyrics for our morning worship, and she worked on the rota, actually doing the projecting. I like to throw in the odd googly each week, turning up very late with a new set of slides saying I've changed my mind. But she was completely unfazed and brilliant about it. She was the absolute safest pair of hands. Even when someone nameless had put the computer online so it wouldn't show any songs, all it was trying to do was update Internet Explorer, she was totally unflappable. Although Andy, I believe she did have some words to say afterwards. Actually, I think she gave all of the ministers here quite a hard time, keeping them up to scratch, not letting them slack off. I'm sure that Andrew and James and Andy can all testify to her zeal in God's service, prodding them on to greater effort. Finally, let me mention Christine's compassion and concern. I can remember a few years ago, she was having a week or so of chemo at the Royal Sussex. And I went to visit her, and suddenly I realised when I left, I'd never asked her how she was. The moment I'd gone in, she'd asked about me, how things were, how were our daughters and so on. And it continued like that in those final 2 months at the Martlets. The first thing she said was always, "How are you?" with little regard for her own situation. She made sure her guests had chairs and were all sitting comfortably and were fed and watered. And then the highlight of those times was, of course, her 53rd birthday party. She sat like a queen receiving her guests, granting each one an individual audience as we took turns to sit next to her. And that was truly a very special occasion. But I also came to really value and look forward to the everyday normal visits to Christine. She was the catalyst for some very good conversations. You never knew who you might meet when you went to visit her. I enjoyed getting to know Angela and Peter, there, another Peter, Joanne, I'd never met before. And it was really nice just being in Christine's company, sitting round her bedside. And in that time, Christine was able to have a very significant effect on many people. Being rather detached from everyday life, she was able to have a different, perhaps wider perspective and give us the benefit of her insights. Someone said that she became a sort of wise woman of the tribe, giving guidance and inspiration to the rest of us. And we will miss that too. In this sort of service, it's very easy and tempting to make it seem that someone is an absolute saint, perfect, with no flaws. Of course, Christine, like everyone else, did have her failings. But in the strict biblical sense, Christine was a saint. She was someone who'd repented of her sins, accepted salvation through Christ, and been made holy. And she was ready to meet God. So let's give thanks for this remarkable woman. And let's thank God for a life lived in such faith and dependence on him. Amen.
Now, there's so many things that one could say, that I could say about Christine. And I'm sure you can think of so many things as well about dear Christine. And what a wonderful person she was. I'm just going to stick to one or two this afternoon. But first of all, I'll just sort of mention, sometimes I'd sort of say something really quite stupid or do something quite silly. And I don't know if anyone else remembers Christine's look, the look that she could sometimes give. Or maybe her eyes would sort of go up to the heavens. Well, that certainly happened to me on a number of occasions. Maybe it was looking at the piles on my study floor. That would I'd often get the look then. But we'll all miss that look. But a couple of things about Christine that were so special. First of all, her dependability. Christine was always so reliable. If you ask Christine if she'd do something, maybe giving her 10 minutes. If she said she'd do it, she'd do it. She's so reliable. I knew if Christine said she'd do something that I could relax, and I knew the job, the task was as good as done. What a wonderful person to have, someone who's so reliable and that you can trust that when they said they're going to do something, she'd do it. So her dependability is something that really stands out for me. And then a second thing which really stood out for me was her dependence on God, which Roger's already alluded to. Her dependence on God. She knew that her salvation was not won by her own merit. She knew that it was God who had to be sent. It was God through Jesus that had won her salvation by what he'd done on the cross. So she trusted in Christ alone. And as Roger said, she loved her Bible, didn't she? Those who know Christine at all would know how she loved her Bible. She loved getting to know God through his word. She was hungry to get to know God better. And that's a wonderful example for all of us who still have maybe some years to go here on this earth, to get to know God better, and to realize God actually wants to reveal himself to us more and more, because he loves each one of us so much. So we thank God for Christine this afternoon.
I remember the look. Really just echoing what both Andy's have said, Christine was a real servant of Christ. Truly she lived her life for him, and her life reflected all that she believed. She was a great example of that, such a consistent person, and that always struck me very deeply with her. Christine effectively and kindly acted as my unpaid PA. I think, and I was extremely grateful for that, I seem to remember one service quite very early on in our time here, I'd produced some pitiful visual aids for the service or something like that, and she sort of came up to me afterwards and said, would you like a bit of help? And I did. And she was just great, and as Andy has just said, so reliable, always. She had produced the visual aids for the services, she had utilised PowerPoint, and really was such a huge help in all those sort of ways. And she was, as has been said, utterly reliable and always full of good ideas. It was always good to talk to her and get her input on things, and sometimes she didn't have anything particularly to say there and then. But sometimes a day or two later, she'd come back to me, I remember, and say, look, I've been thinking about this, how about that? And Christine, Bev, over there in the corner, and I used to meet together to plan family services. And those times together were great, fantastic, as we shared ideas. And Christine tended to host those meetings at her house. She also, of course, if you remember, she was, when we brought the puppets in, she did the, what was she called? Maisie. And she was great at that, and I don't think she was ever very comfortable doing it. But again, she did it because she felt it was good and for the benefit of the services when we use them as a whole. So she was great. She put herself on the line with things, and she gave of herself in so many ways. Sunday school, games evening, clubs at school, all these things have been mentioned, setting up squibs, tireless in her work, and a real inspiration in it. And what a tenacity of spirit seen just so, these last few years. I mean, when we left just over 3 years ago, basically there was no treatment she could have. And we are staggered, as has been said, that, you know, it's been another 3 years as she's pressed on in service. Incredible. She was always charitable and forgiving if things didn't quite go to plan. And sometimes, as has been alluded to already, it's the fault of the ministers here that things didn't go to plan. And Christine was always very charitable and forgiving. And you could always have a good laugh with her as well. You could always have a good laugh. And I just want to say, finish by saying the Blandon family, Edward, Anna and Sarah, as a family, were always so hospitable and kind. I know we'd all echo that. And as a family, they've truly lit up this church over so many years.
Recently, we've introduced into our services a time like this, which we call Spotlight, which is that awkward silence. Is anyone going to say anything? But if anyone would like to say something, then please stick a paw up and you can come up and say something.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's John Bebb. I did quite a lot of work in West Dean School with Christine and other work relating to children. And I just want to say two things in terms of why I'm thankful for Christine. First of all, Christine supported me and others in West Dean Primary School over quite a number of years as we set up and ran lunchtime Bible clubs for the children there. And I'll never forget, and I often relate it to other people, when Christine first started that work, she was very definite to me. She said, I don't want to do anything up front. I don't mind helping. I don't mind giving support in the background, getting things ready, but I do not want to have to stand in front of the children. And that was fair enough. She hadn't done it before, and it was good that she knew her limitations and she was honest to say. But I have to say, over quite a number of years of doing those clubs, she just really grew in the role. And by the time I finished doing those clubs, Christine was basically running the whole show. And she would often be either telling the Bible story or bringing the teaching to the children. And she and Bev McArdle made a fantastic team and a powerful team as they ran those clubs together in West Dean School. And who can say how many children's lives have been impacted by that work, and by Christine personally as well. And, you know, I know that many children at that school will have received love directly from Father God in heaven through Christine, through her faith, and through her willingness to serve amongst the children. And the other thing I want to say is that it was a privilege for me to spend quite regular times with Christine over the last 2 and a bit years praying for her, with her health situation in particular. Again, as others have said, often we would spend a long time talking about my family, my work, what I was doing. And it was often I had to be quite definite to steer things back to Christine and her family and how she was. And I know that one thing that Christine would once said is, although ultimately we might feel that her prayers and our prayers weren't answered, actually many, many of her prayers and our prayers were answered. And she did live a lot longer than the doctors suggested was likely. And not only that, again, as others have already said, there was such a quality in her life and such a lot of fruit was born in those last 2 years through her faithfulness to God and his to her. And I remember, and Becky, my wife, would say this if she was standing here, when we visited her in the Martlets, she was different. And there was a real sense of that wisdom and that ability to just speak into our situation, into her situation, into, you know, even the, you know, when she mentioned some of the staff at the Martlets Hospice. So, you know, God was at work in her right the way throughout. And I give thanks to God for that. And along with all of you, I give thanks to God for Christine and for Edward and for Anna and for Sarah. Thank you.
I wanted to say something as a friend of Christine. We've spoken a lot about her church work, but I wanted to just say something about her as a person. I first met Christine, I had our first real conversation on the maternity ward, when Christine had a very difficult time having Sarah, although she's never been difficult since. And I had a very easy time having Amy. Christine was more concerned about me. We struck up a very good friendship then. A couple of things come into mind that perhaps talk about her as a friend a little bit. once I slipped down the stairs when Amy was little, and I really hurt my ankle, and my husband was working away. And Christine came round, sorted everybody out, took me to the hospital to have my ankle checked out. Nothing was too much trouble, calmed the whole situation down and was brilliant. Another time, Christine phoned me up and said, "Why are you late coming for coffee?" And I said, "I haven't finished painting the dining room ceiling." "Fine," she said, "I'll come and help." She didn't, she came and directed. She made the coffee, told me when I'd been sitting down too long drinking it and should get back up the ladder. And then she told me every time I'd missed a bit and to concentrate more. But she was an amazing friend, and I'd just like to finish by saying the last conversation I had with Christine, she was feeling very poorly, I wasn't, and she was still more concerned about me. And we were very grateful to have her.
In a former parish, a woman who probably was not dissimilar to Christine in age was told by her doctor, "I'm sorry, there's absolutely nothing more we can do for you." "How long have I got?" she asked, and she was told, "A month, three at most." A year later when she died, as today we have gathered to give thanks for Christine, her family, her friends, and many in her church gathered to give thanks for what the family called the year of grace. And so much had been packed into that year of grace. James spoke of 3 years ago, and I suspect that some were aware even before 3 years ago that Christine's health was in decline and that her time was therefore limited. But what a time of grace God has given to her, and probably more truly to all of us, the family, members of this church, the school, John and those who work with him, and indeed all of us here, a time of real grace, benefiting from that gentle, quiet, willing giving out that was so much a mark of Christine's life, born from her faith in Christ. And I think we've so much therefore to give thanks for. I was struck by Roger, who first referred to this fact that Christine and others have echoed it, always was more concerned about, "Now how are you? Don't worry about me, how are you?" And it seems to me, reflecting on that, that the person who's looking inwards, concerned about themselves, loses something very, very powerful. Because in looking out and being concerned about others, you stand to be able to do so much that is so good, as indeed we know Christine has. But also in looking out to others and beyond others, there is that opportunity to see, as one is not able to see if one's eyes are on oneself, the way in which God is at work, and to see something of the beauty of Christ at work in all situations, and thank God for the way in which Christine has inspired that to be the case in her living out and in her influence on so many of us. Yes, as others have said, thank God for Christine, whose life we celebrate today.
We're going to sing a song about God being our shepherd, our help, our strength. Things that Christine was so aware of. She loved to hear hear the Psalms being read, particularly towards the end, words of strength and of comfort and of hope that she held on to. And this is one of her favourites. It's a modern song. If you don't know it, I'm sure that we'll make enough noise for you all to be able to join in. The Lord's my shepherd. As we sit, Raymond's going to come and read to us our Bible readings. We'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And further reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 and verses 38 and 39. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christine loved the scriptures because they brought her to a greater knowledge of who God is, and they brought her into God's presence, and she longed and loved to dwell there, to dwell on Scripture, to dwell on God. And we're going to sing a song, "To Be in Your Presence." Thank you.